GAA on Off the Ball.
All right, it's time for us to turn our attention to hurling here on Off the Ball, and no better man to speak to than Tommy Walsh. But before we actually speak to him, I want to play you this little bit of tape from a roadshow that we did in the Galmont Hotel in Galway, where the conversation turned to the value of a Club All-Ireland medal. Have a look.
Do you ever make the mistake when you're recounting them all and you might say, in 09 we won that one, or, you know...
Well, it's not I, because I know how hard they are to win. And what I would say is, like, lads would say, jeez, for the Kilkenny lads, are up there, they're 8-9 All-Irelands, Henry, you're 10, like, you can get carried away with yourself, you know. But we all have clubs, and, like, Ken has 5-6 county finals. You have 4 Club All-Irelands, Ollie Canning.
You don't make me feel any better, Tommy.
No, but what I'm saying is, I'd love to have one of them. I'm wondering, how did Mount Sion win 6? You know, they had Ballygunner and all them, De La Salle, and, like, they had to beat great teams to win them, won a few Munster clubs. Like, I know how hard it is to win a championship. So that's why I can appreciate, like, what it was like to win. I know how lucky I am to win one All-Ireland, you know. And a lad said to me one time, you'll be, if you're not happy enough without the medal, you won't be happy with the medal. And it's true. And, like, if I never win a championship with Tullerone, I'll still be delighted. See Sean Kavanagh there during the week, someone asked him, any regrets? No, I'm delighted because I gave it everything. And I'm the same. And Ken, you look at the Waterford lads. Like, they won the minor All-Ireland in 2013 for the first time since the 40s. They won the under-21 in 2016, first time since 1992. I don't think them lads would have won them All-Irelands without these lads. So, like, what they did for hurling, and especially hurling in Waterford, was unbelievable. I know they didn't win the All-Ireland. There's another saying, I'm coming out with all these sayings today, but you give a lad a fish, you feed him for a day. You teach a lad a fish, you feed him for life. Well, Ken McGrath, you know, that's what they did for Waterford. So...
if Tommy wants a Club All-Ireland, I'll give him one, but he'll have to give me 3 All-Irelands.
It's a fair trade.
I'll give you 8 of them.
Tommy, you don't have to make any trades. You've got one of your own.
Yeah. You do know I never listen back to myself, so thanks for putting me on the spot there. But, it's brilliant. Finally there. And, you know, we did say, you know, I would have absolutely been delighted at my Tullerone career if we had never have won it. Mad to win it and all that, but just had so many great years with the club from the minute I started in third class, I suppose. And, you know, but I think the last 3 months have been the highlight probably of my sporting life, without a shadow of a doubt.
It's crazy that you probably didn't even know how good it would be or how good it could be. In the interview at Mortrasa immediately afterwards, you talked about a training session before the match where there were 500 or 600 people who'd come out to watch the training session, the last training session before the game. What was that like? What was that atmosphere like?
Yeah, it was amazing because we were very focused on the game. And, you know, but we also said, let's enjoy it, but don't go up to Croke Park. Don't get carried away that after the game, we said, we were too excited to get to Croke Park. We were too excited with the build-up. We said, let's do both of them. Let's enjoy and embrace this. We've waited so long, but always be thinking it's all about the match. So when the ball is thrown in, that you're going to go gung-ho for 70 minutes. So I think with that attitude, then we were able to enjoy it a little bit. And, you know, in the hurling field, it's on the second field, we have a couple of lights. And so it was only up in the top corner, really, where all the supporters are. So they weren't even scattered around the field. So I think word went around the club through various WhatsApp messages and different sporting groups, get down to the field and we'll send the lads off. And looking up, we didn't realise it till we were kind of coming off the field. It was only a 15-20 minute session. The huge crowds between young lads, 3-4 years of age, and just roaring and clapping, and it was amazing, yeah.
That must be, like, so irrespective of the actual match itself, there's already a special occasion. The winning the county championship, I presume, was this amazing thing as well. Like, it was obviously something you've been so close in recent seasons. So that's a great night. That's a great day. And that's a great occasion. But fairly quickly after that, you started to think All-Ireland, right?
Kind of not for myself. It wasn't. It was Croke Park. I had seen the girls, you know, my sister Grace and my wife Marlise, we won the Leinster, I think it was 2013, the Leinster intermediate club with Tullerone in the Camogie. And it was just, it was an amazing time as a supporter for that journey. And we won the Leinster final. We went to play Cairn in the semi-final down in Freshford. And we were so close. Like, the great Aisling Maloney was on that team, the Tipperary footballer. And they were a great Camogie team, in fairness to them. But we nearly got over the line. I think we were about to be a point or two in the end. But we were ahead with the wind at some stage in that second half. And I was just felt so sorry for the girls that they didn't get their Croke Park, you know, as a club. So from I suppose, the county final, it was never an All-Ireland club final, really. It was to get to Croke Park. That was the dream. So I felt the biggest pressure, not pressure, but there wasn't so much at stake in the semi-final versus Navan up in Parnell Park. That's where the real prize was. Because I said, listen, I would have taken it if we had been beaten in the final. The Cork teams are usually very strong in that, and that's Father Neil's. There was a talk of kind of a Tullerone Father Neil's final from early in the club championship. And, you know, we had a fair idea that if we did get there, they would have been the favourites on the other side to be the ones to meet us. And, you know, we know club hurling in Cork, like, they're very much same as ourselves, very skillful, fast and well able to hurl and put big scores. So from the outset, it was just Croke Park was the dream, to bring the lads up and to go in with them, like, you know.
What was the build-up like? How different was it to the build-ups that you're used to for all the All-Ireland finals that you played in?
See, for the, like, the Kilkenny ones, like, most of us won an All-Ireland early in our careers.
Yeah.
When we didn't really, you know, you wanted to win the All-Ireland, but you're just so excited to be on the panel or on the team that was nearly first and foremost and playing well towards, I suppose, going up to Croke Park. The only one regret I would have having is if we didn't perform. Like, if we had to went up and after the game had to say to ourselves, we got too carried away with Croke Park, and we were kind of like, you know, rabbits in headlights when we got up there, just kind of looking around and, you know, just totally carried away with the occasion. So I would have regretted that. But I think even the final, while it would have been disappointment to lose it, I don't think there would have been any shame, because Father O'Neill's, like, the, you know, what a performance both teams put up, and especially them with all the goals that they scored. And it was an amazing game, I'd say, to watch. Probably not from Father O'Neill's or from Tullerone, but definitely from the neutral. So that would have been my only regret if it had to happen, that we didn't kind of turn up on the day. And after 22 minutes, we only scored a pint. And it was looking like that, you know.
But, yeah, because they rushed out into a lead. But were you involved in conversations with everybody about that? Like, did you do anything? Were there tricks that you could rely on? Or actually, were you, as one of the older lads on the team who kind of knew how much was at stake, were you more at risk of falling into that than maybe some of the younger lads?
Yeah, I think if we were able to handle the county final, I reckon we would have handled anything, because that was where every pressure, everything, I'm not saying outside pressure, just pressure from yourselves saying that, listen, big day, let's get over the line in whatever way we can. We're coming up against a great Thomastown team who, over the intermediate championship, since we went down, it's been neck and neck in matches that we've played. League final about a month, 6 weeks before that, we were 4 points, I think, up going into nearly injury time, and we ended up losing the 7th minute of injury time, our 4th league final in 5 years, by a last puck of the game goal. And it was like, holy God, what have we to do here to get over the line? And so I think that was the changing for us, that we had to just give up trying to win the game. Let's just play until the final whistle, not even the time anymore. Let's play till the final whistle and don't look at the scoreboard. If we're up, we're up. If we're not, we're not. And after, let's be happy or sad. So I think the league final this year, we were so disappointed after that we learned our lesson from that. So from then on, we tried our best. Listen, you're not always going to be like that. But we tried our best to train our minds to think about the next ball. And funny enough, you know, a couple of minutes to go, Father Neil scored a couple of goals of a shot and they went 5 up. And you could say, listen, this isn't our day. But we had built up that winning mentality that let's win the next ball and let's put your foot in. Let's get it in hook. Let's do something that maybe at the end of it, that will be the one that gets you over the line. And that was our mentality. And Maybe that's why we go so mad after the final whistles, is because we don't get try and not get caught up in the emotion of it till then. And then it's kind of like,
a damn burst.
Let's go.
Yeah. The game was a wild game. Like, you're as you said, it's like a point after 22 minutes and it's 1-3 to a point down. And then even into stoppage time, like, was everybody aware? Were you aware that, like, the 60 minutes were up, the 61st and 2nd minutes were up? You go up a point, there's an equaliser, there's a dispute about a line ball where it looks like if it goes to you guys, then, you know, you're in the left corner situation, great attacking opportunity. They change it and it goes the opposite direction, and all of a sudden it's like, Jesus, this is probably going to extra time here, and who knows what's going to happen at that point.
Didn't really get caught up in it. There was too many scores at the time. Like, you know, we were 5 points up with a couple of minutes to go. Then they got the goal and 2 points to bring it back level. You just had no time to think. And I didn't realise that, say, it was gone over the injury time for their last puck out even. So I just couldn't believe it when the whistle went. It was just too wild out there. One of the reasons as well is, I suppose, I was in the full forward line and their goalkeepers' puck outs are brilliant. So we had trained very hard that the minute that ball goes dead, that you just have to do something, be ready. And so you just didn't have time to look up the scoreboard at them at that moment in time. You were just trying to, you know, do what you were asked to do. And just when the whistle went then, you know, couldn't believe it really, yeah.
Yeah, sheer euphoria and a brother man of the match, a brother captain and a Royal Rovers performance in terms of the last ball falls to him in a bit of space and doesn't flinch straight over.
Yeah, and there were so many stories within the story. Like, you know, Parag was man of the match. Another lad that could have got the man of the match was our corner back, Dermot Dottney. And I remember I said it to the lads a few times that night, it's very rare in a match that you'll say to yourself, Jeannie, that lad is hurling unbelievable. And I remember he came out as a cornerback, caught 3 or 4 balls, and just inspired us to try and do something similar. And the story behind that is Dermot Dottney, he was dropped for the championship last year, has been a tremendous young player for us. He's, I'd say, 24 years of age now at this stage. He was dropped for the whole championship last year. And, you know, was so disappointed. And his whole family are steeped in hurling. And he was so disappointed. And for him to come back and have the year, and definitely, you know, the game of his life, and the game, you know, it's very rare a cornerback is in line for man of the match in a final. And he was just unbelievable. And I was just so happy for the likes of him. Shane, as I said, my brother, always a lot of pressure on him as a free taker. He hasn't trained in a month to 6 weeks with an ankle injury. You know, things hadn't been going well for him in the lead up to it, just couldn't train. So you're wondering, how will he perform? And he's such a big player for us. And then had the game of his life in the final. And we all started poorly enough in the full forward line. But the two boys in the two corners, Peter and Shane, they just kept trying to get in hooks, blocks, then start winning high balls. And suddenly the game took over for the two of them. So, you know, there were so many great stories from that Gene wouldn't probably see because he wouldn't know the background behind these players. Another lad in midfield, Mark Welcher. Imagine this. He's a teacher up in Dublin, hasn't started a championship game in 4 years for Tullerone. He came on in the semi-final in another incredible day for us against Gorn when we were down by a couple of points of time to go. He came on as a sub and played brilliantly in turning that game for us, started the county final. So the first time he started in 4 or 5 years was the county final. Went on to have a great, great year after that. And, you know, he looks back now on his hurling career in Tullerone, and there's a lot of us the same. You know, it was probably a bit more open, but a lot of the guys might have looked back with sadness. Say if we hadn't got over the line, saying, you know, hurling's not that good, and Tullerone hurling wasn't that good to me. Now to look back, and probably will love coming back. You know, even the lads working away will love coming back forevermore, because the story of 2019 will be told forever at home, like, you know.
We talk so often about the difficulties that the club game has at the moment, and you're always incredibly passionate about it. And I think that, like, the story you're telling of the 4 defeats in 5 years in the league finals, the constant defeats, like last-minute goals, if everybody doesn't actually love the club, they don't keep coming back. If there isn't something special already within the club, that winning mentality, you can't develop that. Like that, you can't just say, we're going to start having a winning mentality, we'll keep going. They have to really believe that the place they're from, the team that they're on, is something special.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And you know, it's up to the community and the hurling club, probably older generation, to drive the spirit of a club, not just the winning mentality. If you just drive the winning mentality and kind of don't care about the consequences, well, then you can leave to probably bitterness and fights. And Gerard, don't get me wrong, we have our fights at home, you know, we have our arguments, but at the end of the day, the kind of the leaders of the club try and think about the spirit of the whole place as number one. And that's like, we have a guy that came into our club and it's the luckiest thing ever to happen to our club, is a guy called Peter Duclaw. He's from down in Bantry, down in Cork. Originally a strong footballer man. And that man, like, he makes from number one to number 37 to people on the, you know, the management team, to the physios and that, feel like they're so as important as, we'll say, the Porrigs or the Mossies or the young Tommies. And he gives them all such a lift. And I don't think without the likes of him that we could, you know, and there's many more like him, but he's definitely symbolic because he wasn't born in Tullerone. And he went through, you know, he was with us, went through all them tough losses, never experienced the euphoria that could come that if you got over the line. And that man, like, what he has, you talk about professionalism and costing lads money, I'd say we cost him a fortune, and he's our selector. And he lives in Kilkenny City, but he's definitely to us. I don't know what he thinks of himself, but he's definitely to us, a Tullerone man, true and true. And we're so proud of him. He's still so proud and speaks of Bantry, you know, with great, you know, love as well at the same time. But I think it does go to show that you mightn't win, but and you mightn't get that peak enjoyment or euphoria that maybe we have received, and the likes of Boris Lee did this year, and the Shamrocks, but you can still be part of something special. And, you know, a major part of our one at the moment, you see, everything in our village revolves now around the hurling field, because the Racquetball Alley is down there, which kind of came alive the last 3 years. The Athletics Club with a big walkway going around the pitch, about 1 kilometre long. So some other parts of the community, they look after that. You have the Mothers and Others, like 37, 38, you know, involved in that. And just everyone driving, you're trying to help out, you know, in any way you can, because there's only 600 of us, like, so, it's a massive thing to feel part of something like that. Right?
Yeah, I've no doubt. And I think that kind of brings us back nicely to the very clip that we played at the start, when you were saying, look, you would have been happy enough if, you know, you'd obviously had an amazing hurling career and absolutely, like, one of the all-time great hurling careers, but this is something completely different, and you can't really compare, you know, 3-for-1, but like whatever the bartering that would have happened, like, this is something more special than any of the other All-Irelands you won, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't like to, I don't think it'd be fair of me really to compare it, because like the lads I won All-Irelands with, like, we were like brothers. Like, I was so close to so many of them. Like, we really were so close, and we had the best of times, like, but after matches, during training sessions, like, we had a bond that was as strong as I've ever been part of, on from Kilkenny, from that 2002 to 2014 when we left, and young and old. And I couldn't say, you know, it wouldn't be fair of me to say that this is better than them, but the difference I would say is that when you're there, you're so close that you have that bond, and the management are the same. But then the supporters, they're so happy for you, but they're still from, you know, different clubs. But when you win it with your club, I think the bond that we would have had with the Kilkenny players, when you win it with your club, you have that with the supporters as well, they're not really supporters. They're as emotional and as part of you, of this whole setup, as you are, because they're the ones selling a lot of tickets to raise money. They're the ones driving, you know, like, so we had to get down different nights over the year. Once we went into the Leinster campaign, they were driving over to different places, bringing over the lights, turning them on, you know, maybe an hour and a half before training, organising different things coming into us, you know, like some milk and sandwiches and chicken and cups of tea and sugar, like the whole thing. So there's so many people trying to drive that. And the other thing as well is, like, even if you'd go to last year when we lost the county final, like, Shane Dunn would have been a selector, and, you know, he stepped away because he had a son this year starting on the team, 17 years of age. It was his first year he could have played, so he could have been disappointed that he wasn't part of it, but his son was playing, So he was every much as part of it. You know, we knew what he put into our club, and I was so happy that he was able to enjoy, like, his son has never lost a championship game. He's the opposite of us, Tomás Dunn, and he gives it everything, you know, a strong young fella, and you can't beat youth. The enthusiasm and the drive and the speed that they bring to the game, you can't beat it. And you go back to what Alex Ferguson said, like, he was never afraid to drop lads because it was all about the future. You drive it on and keep the youth going, and you know, if they're good enough, then, like, you just have to trust them. And we'd like that Tomás Dunn came in this year, and a few more lads like Tommy Walton in, say, challenge, we played a challenge game against Cool Derry up in Boris and Ostrey. It was the worst weather I've ever been involved with, where you couldn't even hold a hurl, and he scored a goal in the last minute of the game to win it for us. Small, you might think, but another game that where we were winning when we should have been beaten. And yeah, the young fellas were magic. And you know, I suppose another lesson for me, because you know, you'll be going into coaching the young fellas, that you know, you have to trust them.
Yeah, for sure. There's one last clip I want to play before we talk to you briefly about what's going to happen this weekend. This is one of the most famous, now it turns out, captain's winning speeches. Have a quick look at this.
Lads, the pitch is like an astroturf out there. We've been training in the dog body and all around for the last few weeks. Because everyone knows that's what you're going to play in, and it's certainly not out there. So it's a credit to Crow Park. Next year, I'd like to thank AIB for all the money we're getting, John Conley. Has been epic. Look, we just like to thank you for running such a competition. It really is the toughest, I would say, Kilkenny. Next to me own boss, who's giving me next 2 weeks off. To Mike Lynn Waters. Lads, if there's ever a place you want to buy a car. Next to Glanbia, lads, every day we come after train, there's dozens and dozens and litres of milk, so I'd like to thank Glanbia for that. Next then, on to the people of Tullerone. I know for a fact, for the next year, I won't ever be handing me pocket for a pint, because you're going to buy him.
He was enjoying himself.
He was, and he does in general. He's a great lad. He's a great heart, and he's young, but he'd do that for you. He'd absolutely do that for you. And you know, it was funny. No, we didn't mean. We felt sorry that Father Neil's lad had to stay out. I think it went on for 13 minutes, you know. And but you know, they were great as well. But no, Shane's a great lad. He really is, and young fella, and took on the captaincy there, and he drove it on, and you know, his heart is in the right place.
Yeah, because Porrick was in saying that he'd actually volunteered for the captaincy, and that's not an easy thing to do. Like, there's, you know, some experience in the team, but to have the desire and then to back it up, that's the big thing. You know, a lot of people can want something, but then you get it, then you have to back it up.
Yeah, well, he had a very close relationship with Brother Brennan. They were very close, kind of, you know, Shane would be wild, like, you know, and Brother Brennan, you know, he wanted to show him, listen, that's okay, but you have to realise how good you are as well, and take that responsibility on. And he, you know, Shane owed him so much, he felt, when he was alive also, and he just kind of totally bought into to the way Brother Brennan spoke to him, and just made him believe in himself. And yeah, he went out and, you know, asked lads to vote for him to be captain, and but like, you can talk the talk, you have to be able to walk the walk, and he did, like, you know, he did, even when things were going tough for him, when his farm mightn't have been as good as he wanted to be, he just kept getting into hooks, getting into blocks, and just driving lads on, and you know, and it just kind of, it's a great lesson for him as well, that on the biggest day of all, then, like, he put in a performance that we knew that he could do any day. And you know, it's a great sign that, you know, again, you have to trust the youth again, that yeah, your captain doesn't always have to be the county player, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And obviously, I saw you bringing kids up to celebrate as well. A different type of celebration when you're at this stage of your career from when you won your first All-Ireland, I've no doubt. More involved with the whole community and I presume quite the crack.
Yeah. And in fairness to Crow Park, like, I know there was a bit with the family coming out onto the field, but not one of the stewards stopped any of the young fellas coming out onto the field. Any young fella from Tullerone that we wanted to bring out onto the field, no hassle at all. And we brought them out, and, you know, they got plenty of photos, their mams and dads, and pretended to hit a few balls over the bar. And, you know, we just kind of mucked around. And they'll never forget that. And See, there's so many photos with the Crow Park stand in the background as well that it's just historic, like, you know. And it was one of the great, like, you can talk about money all you like, but, like, it's about dreams and like, whoever, I think it was Sean Kelly was the president at the time, that idea of putting the junior finals, intermediate finals and senior finals up in Croke Park, like, that is just worth more than offering any type of money to any winner. That's where lads dream of, no matter what you say, from when they're 4 or 5 years of age, they dream of playing up in that place. And that never probably stops until you finish. Like, we had Joe Norton, who's 49, well, she probably shouldn't say his age, sorry, but he's not 21 or 2. He was on the 1988 intermediate winning team. And he was, that was the guy that lifted the cup with Shane.
Right.
And that wasn't just a token one either. Like, he was, like, I did the drills with him the night before the county final. And the you know, the pitch wasn't in pristine condition around the time, because we were training hard on it. And his touch was incredible. And, you know, it gave me a lift. And, you know, he scored a pint in a junior match against Carrick Shock this year from midfield. And that, like, he got to run out in Croke Park, hit balls over the bar and before it, and, you know, so I think the GAA have to take their hats off them. And I know we criticise them, but let's also give them the credit they deserve. And that Croke Park dream for junior, intermediate and senior is one of the greatest ideas anyone ever came up with.
Yeah, in fairness, they get loads of stuff right. It's at the margins that we're talking about where some of the big things are happening. But look, we've gone on this, and rightly so, because it's such a great... I think it's actually important in terms of the context of all of the other conversations we have and why the club is so important and why these matches matter so much to the people involved. And every club around the country can kind of have those dreams. The league starts this weekend, and it kind of feels like because the championship has become so great that the hurling league is less important now than it was even before the round robin started properly in the championship. Is that fair?
Well, it's probably less important to win it from a manager's point of view, or pressure on guys to go on and win it. But I think it's gone back in the right direction, in that now they can give... You've 35, 36, maybe 40 players in some instances on inter-county panels at the moment. And I could never understand how they could stay going and going. And my hats is off to them. They stay going and going, playing getting very little game time because the league was so important. Now they're all nearly getting a chance in the league. And there's still great attendances at them. A lot of them are televised. There's good highlights shown on Sunday nights. So I think it's more important the way it is now, because it's given all those guys a chance, given youth a chance. A manager can now give them a chance without worrying about winning or losing the game or not. That it's not the number one, it's not the be all and end all to win it. So you look at Tipperary, Dollar and Champions last year, you know, they did well enough in a couple of matches, then didn't do so well. But Liam Sheedy was trying to find his best team. That's what he was doing, trying to drill in the way he wanted them to play, regards heart and commitment and hooking and blocking. So I think it's more important the way it is now for the mentality really of and the mental well-being, I think, of even panels. Because if you were 23, 24, doing all that training with no game time, just couldn't have been enjoyable.
No, and you're not getting any game time for your club either. You never get the opportunity to show that you're actually progressing and improving. And if you had two bad training sessions, it must get in on you. Listen, we'll let you go. Before we do, Henry Shefflin has stepped down as the Ballyhale manager. Everybody's joining the dots and saying he's having one last year off before Brian Cody hands over the reins of succession. It's a nice plan in theory. Do you think it's going to happen in practice?
I don't know, but he, in fairness to him, he probably has the ability there, and he has shown that he's able to do it. That any job that comes up, I'm sure he'd be well able to do it.
It's not a bad record, is it? Manager 2 years, 2 All-Ireland club titles.
Shefflin was, you know, like, he was as modest at 33, 34 in the Kilkenny panel as he was at 19 years of age. He had an ability to drive on any sort of a player. He never looked down on anyone and trained so hard and did everything so right himself that everyone just copied him. So in management, you know, I work with him in the Bank of Ireland, and, you know, he was my boss before. And, you know, a guy, again, you just wanted to get things right for him. He had that sort of an aura about him. He's that sort of a presence. And I was never surprised that he was going to do well. And, you know, you'd be listening to stories how he's able to use his head and use cop on. Like, he, you know, the county buys that he has for Ballyhale, he used to give him a couple of nights off maybe if they need it, maybe train them hard if they need it. Just use his head and maybe treat everybody the same, treat everyone how he would like to get the best out of them for the team. And, you know, he's a very, very, you know, astute, and he's very clever at what he does.
So whenever, and, you know, not saying that Brian Cody's going to finish anytime soon, but whenever he wants that Kilkenny job, he's going to be a good Kilkenny inter-county manager.
Well, listen, two years, two Kilkenny County finals, two Leinster finals and two Club All-Irelands. It wouldn't be a bad way to put your CV in with that on it.
No, for sure. Tommy, congratulations again. Thanks a million for joining us. Yeah.
Thanks, Ger. What's up?
Cheers, good stuff. GAA on Off The Ball.